Hello, everybody. Welcome to the AppFluent podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the previous podcast. Before we start, make sure you adjust the speed of the podcast. You can have the podcast at 0.8, 0.7, right? Depending on how fast the podcast is. And if it's too challenging as well, you can repeat the podcast again and again. There is also a transcript of the podcast, so you can follow along if you have time to just read. All right, let's dive in. Picture this. It is the night before your big college paper is due. You've had weeks, probably months, to work on it. This paper is due eventually, and it's worth half of your grade. But here you are, in your pajamas at 1 a.m, meticulously cleaning your fridge instead. Suddenly, your attention is on the expired milk and the missing ice cream that you need to binge watch The White Lotus on Netflix. This is a historical artifact at this point. Fast forward to 2:30 a.m., and you've somehow organized the entire closet. 30 minutes later, and you are finally on your computer, but you noticed the messy files on your computer. So you had to do something about that, which took another 30 minutes of your remaining time. Which is a lot, given that you have less time to work on your paper. Finally, you started researching something, but not about your paper, instead about the migration patterns of pigeons. Wow. Now is the time. It's 4 a.m, the guilt kicks in. With a mix of dread and 5 cups of coffee coursing through your veins, you sit down and tackle that paper. Magically, the words start flowing. You become a human typewriter, hammering out 2,000 words in one go. By 7 a.m, you have something that resembles a research paper. Though you're still not entirely sure what you wrote, between the caffeine-fueled hallucinations, somehow you submitted it on time. Sounds familiar? If it does, congratulations. You are a member of the Litigators Society. Let's begin on a positive note. While procrastinations often get a bad rap, it's not always the villain. Research suggests that delaying tasks can, under the right circumstances, spark creativity and innovation. Adam Grant, a prominent organizational psychologist, describes the concept of what we call strategic procrastination, where intentionally stepping away from a task allows your brain to wander and make unexpected connections. Take Leonardo da Vinci, for example. His masterpiece, the Mona Lisa, took an astonishing 16 years to complete. Some might call that procrastination, but the others argue that da Vinci was simply letting his ideas mature. This extra time allowed him to refine his techniques and create one of history's most iconic paintings. As Mark Twain famously put it, "Never put off till tomorrow what you can do the day after tomorrow just as well." Twain's humor captures the essence of using procrastinations to spark deeper thinking. Even in everyday life, procrastinations can lead to creative breakthroughs. Think about the times you have delayed a task and stumbled upon a brilliant idea while daydreaming or doing something completely unrelated. It's proof that sometimes stepping back can help us see the bigger picture. Of course, procrastination isn't always sunshine and creativity. For many, it's the source of stress, regret, and self-doubt. Studies show that 20% of adults identify as chronic procrastinators, consistently putting off tasks until the last possible moment. This habit often leads to what researchers call deadline panic. That adrenaline-fueled rush when you realize time is running out and your work hasn't even started. The consequences can be significant. Lower quality results, increased anxiety, and the recurring cycle of guilt. It's the kind of procrastinations that leaves you asking, why do I do this to myself? Mel Robbins, a motivational speaker, describes procrastinations as a dream killer. She argues that it is not just about laziness, it is often rooted in fear. Fear of failure can make us hesitate, while fear of success can make us stall, worried about the pressure that success might bring. Robbins offers practical advice for breaking this cycle. Her 5-second rule encourages people to act before their brain has time to invent excuses. The idea is simple, yet creative. Count down from 5 and dive into the task before hesitation kicks in. To understand procrastination, we need to explore its psychological roots. Experts have identified several common drivers. 1. Fear of failure. The pressure to be perfect can paralyze us, leading us to avoid tasks altogether. As the famous quote goes, procrastination is opportunity's assassin. 2. Fear of success. While it may sound counterintuitive, some people procrastinate because success brings higher expectations. Delaying tasks becomes a way to avoid future pressure. Three, instant gratification. Thanks to dopamine, the brain's reward chemical, we're drawn to activities that offer immediate pleasure, like binge-watching TV or scrolling through social media. Once we understand these psychological triggers, then we have the key to break through this cycle of procrastination. By recognizing what drives our behavior, we can begin to develop strategies to overcome it. If you are feeling guilty about procrastination, take comfort in knowing that you're not alone. These stats reveal how universal this habit really is. 95% admit to procrastinating at least occasionally. The other 5, they are probably procrastinating on admitting it. Procrastination costs businesses a lot of money per employee per year in lost productivity. Among college students, 70% identify as procrastinators, with many reporting lower grades as a direct result. It's no wonder libraries and coffee shops become packed during final week. These numbers highlight how pervasive procrastination is and how much it impacts our lives. If there is one thing procrastination has given us, it's endless comedic material. From memes to viral tweets, the internet has turned this frustration habit into a shared experience filled with laughs. One classic meme goes, "Why do today what you can do tomorrow?" Tomorrow me has it all figured out. Another favorite, "I am not procrastinating. I am prioritizing my procrastination." Humor indeed helps us with our struggle. It goes to say this isn't just a personal failure, it's a universal struggle. And sometimes a good laugh is all we need to reframe our mindset and find motivation to take action. Procrastination isn't just a habit, it is often tied to our personality. Researchers have found that certain traits make people more prone to putting off things. For example, individuals who score high on neuroticism, a trait associated with anxiety and emotional instability, are more likely to procrastinate. Why? Because they often feel overwhelmed by the tasks and avoid them as a way to manage their emotions. On the flip side, people who are conscientious, in other words, organized, disciplined, and goal-oriented, are less likely to procrastinate. Their natural tendency to plan and stick to schedules help them tackle tasks head-on. But even the most conscientious among us aren't immune to procrastination. After all, personality is complex and no one is perfect. Interestingly, perfectionism can also play a role. While perfectionists are often seen as high achievers, their fear of making mistakes can lead them to procrastinate. They delay tasks because they are worried about not meeting their own impossibly high standards. As Dr. Timothy puts it, procrastination is the misregulation of emotions. We think by putting things off, we are going to feel better. So whether you are an anxious overthinker, a meticulous perfectionist, or somewhere in between, your personality shapes how and why you procrastinate. Understanding this link can help you develop strategies to overcome the habit. Let's lighten the mood a little bit with some surprising facts about procrastination. Although procrastination may feel like something you can't stop, but science offers plenty of strategies that help you take control. Here are some strategies that may help you overcome that. 1. Break tasks into smaller steps. Research showed that overwhelming tasks are a major trigger for procrastination. When a project feels too big, your brain goes into avoidance mode. The solution? Break it down into smaller, manageable steps. Psychologists call this chunking. And it is a proven way to make daunting tasks feel less intimidating. For example, instead of thinking, "I need to write a 10-page report," start with, "I'll outline the introduction today and work on the body tomorrow." Each small win builds momentum, making it easier to keep going. 2. Use the two-minute rule. The two-minute rule, or the TMR, popularized by productivity expert Ellen, is simple. If a task takes less than 2 minutes, do it immediately. This technique works because it eliminates the mental burden of small, nagging tasks that pile up over time. Plus, completing quick tasks gives you a dopamine boost, which can motivate you to tackle bigger ones. 3. Time boxing. Schedule your tasks. Time boxing is a technique where you allocate specific time slot for tasks. Instead of saying, "I will work on this later," you commit to working on it from, say, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Studies show that time boxing reduces procrastination by creating a sense of urgency and structure. It also helps you avoid the trap of Parkinson's law, which states that the work expands to fill the time available for its completion. 4. Obvious, eliminate distractions. Digital distractions are procrastinators' worst enemy. Research revealed that even brief interruptions like checking your phone can derail your focus and make it harder to return to the task at hand. To combat this, create a distraction-free workspace. Turn off notifications, use website blockers, and set boundaries with those around you. 5. Focus on the why. When tasks feel meaningless, procrastinators thrive. To counter this, connect your tasks to a larger goal or purpose. For example, remind yourself that finishing this project at work could lead to a promotion, or that studying for an exam is a step toward your dream career. Studies show that linking tasks to personal values increases motivation and reduces procrastination as well. 6. Reward yourself. Positive reinforcement is a powerful motivator. Set up a reward system for completing tasks, whether it is a treat, a break, or an episode of your favorite show. Research indicates that rewards trigger the brain's reward system, making you more likely to repeat productive behaviors. But don't reward yourself more than your work. If you work for, say, an hour, reward yourself for just the amount of time, or maybe less than that, not like 7 hours of binge watching. Start with the hardest task. This strategy, often called eating the frog, involves tackling your most challenging task first. Research shows that completing difficult tasks early in the day boosts your confidence and sets a productive tone for the rest of your work. Lastly, practice self-compassion. Procrastination often leads to guilt and self-criticism, which can create a vicious cycle. Instead, practice self-compassion. Studies show that being kind to yourself reduces stress and makes it easier to bounce back from setbacks. Remember, everyone procrastinates. It's how you respond that matters. Overt procrastination isn't about perfection. It is about progress. Start by experimenting with one or two of these strategies and see what works for you. And remember, even small and noticeable changes can lead to big results over time. So where does this leave us? Procrastination, like chocolate or coffee, is best enjoyed in moderation. When used strategically, it can fuel creativity and give us time to think. But when it takes over, it can lead to stress, regrets, and missed opportunities. The key is mindfulness. Set realistic deadlines, break tasks into manageable chunks, and reward yourself for small victories. And when procrastination does creep in, embrace it with intention. Let it be your creative muse rather than your productive nemesis. That's it for today. Remember to comment on the podcast. It's important to share your take on the podcast. Maybe you use strategy that I didn't cover in the podcast, so feel free to comment there. Thank you so much for listening, and bye-bye.